God's word, Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. I'm going to be reading from verse number 23. I believe Pastor Buki must have announced that we're having family service today, meaning that we have everyone here. And let's just enjoy each other's presence as a family. Matthew chapter number 14, and I'm going to be reading from verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14 from verse number 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the disciples or the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I need you to note that, please, people of God, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This morning, by the grace of God, is the first Sunday of the month, the first Sunday of the year 2020. I would like to start teaching on a series I've titled Experiencing the New. Experiencing the New. Let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, as we go into your word, breathe upon it, Lord. It's our first gathering as a church in this year on a Sunday morning like this. Lord, we ask you to show up again. Let this word come alive unto us. Lord, let it impart faith into our heart. Let it open the eyes of our understanding as a church to seeing the opportunities that you have packaged in this year. Lord, I ask that you open the ears and the heart of your people, my brethren, and that, Lord, you give me a word to your people this morning so that all of us together will have been transformed by this word by the end of this teaching. Thank you because you will do this and much more. Because we are prayed in Jesus' name, amen. There are about 7.5 billion people in the world, and it is said that about 107 billion people have ever lived in the world. 107 billion people have ever lived in the world. That's talking about both the dead and, of course, the living. 107 billion people. That means that only about 7% of the people that are here now on earth compared to the number of the people that have ever lived on earth. So when I say 107 billion people have ever lived in the world, it means 107 billion people have ever walked on the surface of this earth. Tremendous number. I mean, mind-blowing. Now, out of that number, only 12 people have ever walked upon the moon. 12. And that was between the year 1967 and 1972, starting with Apollo 11. You remember Neil Armstrong was the first person that set his feet on the moon. Now, out of the 12 people, now think about it, only 12 out of 107 billion, all right, have ever set their feet upon the moon, walked upon the moon. As of July last year, only four of them were still alive. I'm guessing that maybe the four of them are still alive today. Now, in other words, there are only four people that you could actually go to today, and you could ask, how was it on the moon? What did it feel like? What was the experience like? Only four people. Now, there have been only two people that have ever walked upon the water. Now, I know some of you are already going to argue with me because you only know one person, and that's Jesus, you know? But there were only two people. There have been only two people, and that was Jesus and Peter. Peter. Now, if we were to have the two of them here today, and you want to ask, what was the experience like walking upon the water? I want to bet that many more people will want to ask Peter about what his experience was on the water. You know why? Who will go to Jesus and ask him? Not because he's scary, but I mean, he's God. You know, he can walk on anything, you know. He can decide to walk upon the hair, you know. But you will want to find out from somebody that you consider as normal, you know, like Peter, what was the experience like walking upon the water? I'm sure he will have told you that the experience was different. It was new. It was unprecedented, completely out of this world, never to be repeated, you know. Forget about all of this magic stuff that you watch on the TV that tells you some people are walking upon the water. Don't try this at home, okay? Because there is nothing like that, you know. Only Peter had ever walked upon the water. Like I said, only four people had ever walked upon the moon. And they are celebrated everywhere. In fact, the first word that was mentioned, that was said by Neil Armstrong is still on record till today. The first word that came out of his mouth. And no one person has had the experience twice. In other words, every one of them that have been to the moon have only been there once. There was no second chance. Now, the walking upon the water was a completely different experience, and it was new. It was never to be repeated. Now, I'm sure you are asking, so why are you talking about this? It's simple. Because there was an opportunity that was presented to Peter, and he grabbed it with his two hands. Now, he wasn't the only person that could have walked upon the water when he did. The Bible talks about the fact that there were other disciples in the boat. So, your guess is as good as mine. At least there were 12 of them in the boat. Only one person ventured upon walking on the water. Why? Simple. Because there was an opportunity that was presented to him, and he grabbed it with his two hands. How does that apply to us? Simple. At the beginning of the year like this, I like to remind people that years come with loads of opportunities. That when you see the first of the year, it is just an introduction to another platform of opportunity. Now, but unfortunately, the statistics of people that take advantage of such opportunities have not changed, perhaps even deepened. Now, only one person out of 12 was able to take advantage of that from the passage we have read. Perhaps it's about the same percentage of people today that will take advantage of the opportunity that is coming, that will come, or that has come with this year 2020. Now, the question is this. Why is it that many more of us don't take advantage of this opportunity? Because every year, as it is announced, comes with loads of opportunities. I know that's different from what some of you have been told by the media. You think about, oh, this 2020 has come with all of this global warming problem or all this new problem. No, I want to submit to you on the platform of God's word that it has come with loads and loads of opportunities. And the only reason why we're reviewing this passage today is to see how to experience, how to walk in a path that brings you to experiencing something new, something unique, something completely out of this world, something that is different from what you have ever experienced before. Because I can submit to you that that is actually the heart of God for you. Your experiences of the past, the Lord wants you to experience something different, something more. And I like to say boldly, something new. Church, please say with me, something new. So that's why we're going to be reviewing this, something new. How do you key in into these vast opportunities that are coming into your lives or around you in the year 2020? And I'm going to be giving three quick points. And that's based on this story of Peter walking upon the water. Number one, recognize the opportunity for the new. You need to recognize the opportunity for the new. You need to recognize the opportunity for the new. What do I mean by that? Now, Jesus was the ticket into experiencing something new for all the people in the boat. At the point of this incident, Jesus was their ticket, or you'll say passport, to having a new experience, to experiencing something new. But sadly, they did not recognize him. And they did not recognize him. Why? Yes, it is a strange phenomenon. I mean, somebody walking upon the water. Don't forget, the background to the story was Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, not counting men, women rather, and children. And so he spoke to his disciples and he told them, "Go, you're going to go to the other side and put them in the boat and set them on their sail, set them on their way to the other side." Meanwhile, he dispersed the crowd, and afterwards he went to a secluded place to pray. Now, after praying, it was now in the middle of the night, and then he went to meet with the disciples. These disciples have been battling this problem for a while. I will imagine they will have been there for years. You know why? Because Jesus usually prayed for hours. You know, the Bible says sometimes that he will pray all night. You know, it's not one of those 5 minutes, 2 minutes prayer that we celebrate today. You know, some of us pray actually in the car because we don't have time to actually observe our prayer in the morning. Anyway, so this, they have been facing this problem for hours, and then all of a sudden Jesus showed up. Now, we could excuse them not recognizing Jesus because who walks upon the water? No one. I mean, they've never seen it, and that's why they shouted. This must be a ghost. So you could excuse the fact that they didn't recognize Jesus. Now, but that was going to be their opportunity to walk in upon the water. And I want to submit to you that the reason why they did not actually recognize him was not just because of the strange phenomenon. It was also because of the prevailing situation. What was the prevailing situation? Number one, it was dark. So it was in the middle of the night. It was pitch. There was pitch darkness. Number two, they were tired, trying to get the boat to follow the direction they wanted it to go, because the Bible says the wind was contrary. So they were struggling. I mean, they were tired. And you know as well as I do that when you are tired, you lose your sense of recognition, you know. And that's why many of the times they actually stop surgeons from operating when they are tired, because you may want to cut this side and you want to cut that side, you know. You can't just get yourself together. The fatigue will set in. So that might have contributed in some way, form, or shape. They were afraid also. So their situation was such that they were already having all of these negative emotions that unfortunately beclouded their judgment to be able to recognize their only opportunity to actually have this new experience. So they had all of these negative experiences so that when there was a strange situation that now happened, within the context of fear, worry, anxiety, tiredness, dark, you know, situation, of course, they couldn't recognize that opportunity presented to them. Now, how does that apply to us? Because I've said the first thing is to recognize the opportunity for the new. More often than not, we don't recognize this opportunity for the new simply because of the negative prevailing situations in our lives. There is so much of roller coaster situation already going on, such that when the opportunity comes, we fail to recognize it because we don't even think about taking advantage of this opportunity because we can't see one. They couldn't see Jesus. They couldn't recognize Jesus, rather. And so it was difficult for them to actually relate to him as their master to start with. Now, what I'm getting at is this. Some of us, the simple reason why, unfortunately, we might be not prepared, or we might be in a position not to take advantage of the opportunities that the Lord is going to present to us this year, is simply because we are so much focused about the negative situations in our lives, such that we lose sight of the new opportunities that the Lord is presenting. There is so much of financial chaos, there is so much of relational troubles in our lives, that when the Lord will show up in some shape, form, or fashion, we're not able to take advantage of it because we cannot recognize it. And I'm here to say to you, people of God, that you need to manage those negative emotions, otherwise it's going to deprive you from seeing the master when he appears and he shows up in your case. I have this very strong conviction that there are people that are sitting here this morning are people that the Lord has packaged certain opportunities for this year. You know, the Bible says, day unto day utters speech. Night unto night shows wisdom. You know, we have a prayer that we often take in our prayer, during our devotion, and we say, let today speak good concerning me. Why? Because every day speaks. The Bible says there is no voice, no language where their voice is not heard. So every single day comes with new opportunities. Every new year comes with package, loads of package of opportunities to change your status from your current pedestal to a new one. Unfortunately, many of us are so glued to our situation and current circumstances that we cannot see it. So this year, this morning, I'm challenging you, recognize the opportunity for the new by not focusing on your current negative emotions and situation. You know, the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. You don't have to turn there. It says, forget the things of old. No, we need to turn there. Forget. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. I couldn't just quote it exactly as it is, and I don't want to paraphrase. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Look at what he says. He says, do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Look at the way it starts. Do not remember the former things. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Nor consider the things of old. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Why would God start with that? Because more often than not, that's actually the things that keeps us from engaging with the new experience. We are so glued to the things of the past. We're so glued to the ongoing situations in our life that we are not able to see the new opportunities, and so we are not able to engage with it. So the first thing this year to following the path of experiencing something new is to recognize the opportunity for the new. Recognize the opportunity for the new. Number two, resolve to engage with the new. Church, please say it with me. Resolve to engage with the new. I want you to say it out loud in faith. Resolve to engage with the new. Now, what does that mean? When I say resolve to engage with the new, I'm referring to the determination that comes when you have a desire for something. I'm talking about the keenness, you know, the desire to experience something new. You cannot walk on the water if you are not keen to get out of the boat. You can never walk upon the water if you are not keen to get out of the boat. Put in another way, if you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. There are no two ways about it. Now, I know that sounds like simple and it's no-brainer. If you want to walk upon the water, then get out of the boat. But that's exactly what many of us actually want in our experience. We want something new, but we are so attached to the hold. We hold on to our current negative ongoing experience, whereas what we desire is actually outside. We need to resolve right now, right here, that we want to engage with the new. There must be that desire. There must be that resolve. There must be keenness. We must be keen to engage with the new. Don't forget there were 12 of them in the boat on that day, like I said. Only one of them was willing to engage with the new. And how do you measure the willingness to engage with the new? How do you measure this resolve to engage with the new? It's the ability to want to take risk. Is the willingness to want to take risk. You know, the desire to engage with the new is only measured by the willingness to take risk. Now, Peter was there just like any other person, and because he so much desired to have this new experience, he needed to take a risk. Now, because there are people here who desire the experience of joy of the harvest, the only problem is that they are not willing to take the risk of sowing their seed. In other words, there is this beautiful experience that we so desire, but we're just so attached to this boat experience. Unfortunately, this boat experience is a negative experience, but we are attached. We rather stay in that than to step out of the boat to engage with something new. So Peter here only needed the word of God, just one word from God. And what was that word? Come. There was no explanation. There was no There was no detailed instruction as to how you would put your foot. You know, I guess that if some of us were in the boat that day and Jesus said, come, we just look at Jesus and say, just like that. I mean, come? How? When? Where? At what point? I mean, we'll be asking all of these questions. Why? Simply because we are not so keen. The desire is not strong enough to push us to the platform of faith and taking this risk. The only thing he had was, come. And before you say, hey, B, C, the man was already out of the boat. But why? Because there was a resolve in his heart to engage with the new. A few months ago, or a few weeks ago, at the close of 2019, the Lord gave us a word in the house. We were having prayer meeting, and just before we started prayer meeting, as I was preparing, the Lord gave me a word, and I came to this church, and I said, this is the word the Lord gave me. And it was a very simple thing. 2019, the Lord said, you're coming to a season where you are going to have great opportunities. But to take you into that season, you will require faith. And that sounds to me like a no-brainer for any believer that, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible talks about a walk of faith. The just shall live by his faith. So, but the Lord said, I need you to emphasize it to the people. Faith will be required to take this step into the next phase that I have prepared for my people. Let them know. Let them know that faith is going to be required in this next phase that I've prepared for them. And I remember I came to the prayer meeting that day and I shared it with the people. And I said, the Lord has asked me to let you know, faith is going to be required. It's not going to be just with all of this crying and emotion. Lord, do something. Lord, help me. You know, and whining and complaining. Faith is going to be required in this next moment and this next phase of our life, because I believe that the opportunities that the Lord has packaged into this year will wipe away the tears of your life over the years. But faith is going to be required to engage with it. Why? Because there must be a resolve in your heart to engage with the new, and that is only measured on the platform of the readiness to take risk. Faith is simply described in simple four-letter word, R-I-S-K, is risk taking. And if you're not ready to take risk, just pack well. Just get to one side, because you don't have anywhere to go. Unfortunately, if you're not ready to take this risk next year, 2021, where we're still talking about this, we're still going to be talking about your experience in the same situation, because you're not just ready to step out of the boat. Risk is going to be required. And the risk I'm talking about is not some I'm not talking about some brainless risk, you know, that you just jump into. I'm talking about the risk that is based on the word of God. Come. Come. And that was it. And the man jumped into the water. Why? Because faith is going to be required, and faith requires you to act upon the word. No explanation given, no details. Where do I step? Do I step upon the right side of the boat or the left side of the boat? Some of us will ask that question. Some of us will ask, at what angle should my foot actually touch the water? You know, none of those questions. Come, sir. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know what Peter said? He said, if it is you, command. I love that word. This was not a kind of a deliberation. It was not a suggestion. It was not an opinion. It was a command. He said, command me to come. Why? Because faith works at the platform and at the level of command. It is a command. It is not an opinion. It's not a suggestion. When you read God's word and it says something, it's not suggesting something that is going to happen. It's saying it's going to be exactly like that, because it's a command. He said, command me to come. When God came into the scene in Genesis chapter number 1, it was not an opinion that he was given to this vast water. When he said, let there be light, it was not light. Can you come, please? It was not. Let there be light. It was a command. Why? Because it was born by faith. It was born by faith. So if you're going to engage with God in this 2020 and enjoy all of his opportunities, you have to be willing to take the risk of believing and acting upon this word. If you're not ready, just move to one side and let some of us that are ready go. I know it's a bit harsh, but I've come across believers who whine and who cry and who complain all year long. And the situation is going to be exactly the same in the next 365 days. Why? Because they are not willing to leave the boat, and still they want to have the experience of walking upon the water.
The only way you can do that is to say, okay, bring a little bit of water from there and put it in the boat and see whether you can walk. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about new experience, something different from what you are used to. Aren't you tired of the same whole story? And that's why he's calling you, come into a life of engaging by faith if you want to change your position. Without that, it's going to be the same story. So, the first thing, like we said, is, do I still have people who love pastor in church? Yeah, I know it's the first Sunday of the month, and it's like, pastor, take it easy now. Take it easy. You know. You know what? You know the reason why I'm passionate about this, talking to you about this? I really don't want you to still hold to the same problem and the same struggle when we're in 2021. I just don't want us to still start talking about the same issue. And that's why it's like I'm being a bit forceful about this. When you see a possibility, when you see something that it could be this, and then you see somebody that is here, and you know that it could be this, then you challenge that person. Now, a few weeks ago, not too long ago, I've had the privilege of teaching all of my girls how to ride bicycle. Even though I don't know how to ride myself, just yeah, it's my daddy's fault. He didn't buy me a bicycle. Now, so I've had the privilege of teaching them. Now, I've taught the two elder ones. So I was teaching our third girl. I knew how it could be. She could be riding on her own without any support. But this is a girl that you put on the bicycle and you say, push me, put my leg, just hold me, daddy, don't leave me. And at the time I got frustrated, I said, come on, you can do this. You could be better without me. I said, you can actually ride this bicycle on your own. And at the time I had to say, oh Lord, give me patience. The gift of patience with this girl. Because I was running out of patience. Now, exactly the same way it is. When you see the possibilities, and when you see the opportunities, when you see that people are able to be high flyers, and the experiences they could have in God, if they only will trust and believe him and walk by faith with him, and here they are, here is this person is just whining and complaining about everything. Oh, it's my friend. Oh, it's my family. The government position is not good. And the world is just crashing over. I said, come on, stop complaining. Engage with this new experience that can only come by faith. And it is a risk thing. It's not going to come. It's not going to come on the platform. You have to step out of the boat in order to walk upon the water. So don't ever forget that. So the first thing we said is recognize the opportunity for the new. The second thing we said, resolve to engage the new. Finally, resist the pressure to abandon the new. Resist the pressure to abandon the new. You remember what happened in this story? Peter stepped out, focusing on Jesus and walking towards him. And as he will take one, two, only God knows how many steps he took. Oh, you're taking, and then all of a sudden, the Bible says, and he saw this boisterous wind. And he saw this boisterous wind. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 14, we're still reading, verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. I love the word when he saw. Because it wasn't just that the wind had just become boisterous. It was that. As a matter of fact, over the past hours, they've been struggling with this boisterous wind. The only thing that has changed in this moment was that instead of him focusing his attention on Jesus, the reason why he stepped out of the boat in the first instance, he shifted his focus to the boisterous wind. And the Bible says it began to sink. Now, the truth of the matter is when you start walking in faith and start taking this risk, of faith that I'm talking about. And don't forget what I said. This risk is not, I'm not talking about some brainless risk that people of the world will pack it together and say, you take that risk. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a risk that is based on God's word. According to what he says, It says, command me to come. So you are responding to the commandment of God, and that is the word. Okay? Either as written or as revealed to you. So I need you to take that so that you don't come to me in March and say, Pastor, I took a risk because my boss told me I have no hands in that. I can only guarantee that if you take a risk based on what it says, you will be safe. Now, but somebody will say, but Peter was a failure. Why? Because at a point in time, he started sinking. And that's true. But that's not the truth. Now, when Peter stepped out of the water and he started going and following Jesus, or rather going towards Jesus, he shifted his focus and he saw the wind, the boisterous wind, and the Bible says he began to sink. But what I want to emphasize first is the fact that there will be things that will tell you otherwise. Because there will be people, there will be opinions, there will be voices that will tell you to see things from a different perspective, not from God's perspective. They will want to take your attention away from that voice or that word that says, come. And you need to resist that pressure to abandon the new with all the fiber of your being. Why? Because it is we're acting on that word that actually sustains you. Remember when Jesus would come to Peter, he didn't say, yeah, you're sinking. You're sinking because the wind has also suddenly become boisterous. Or no, the density of the water has just suddenly changed. It wasn't any of the natural physical properties of any of the situation around him. You know what Jesus pointed out as the reason why he was sinking? Your faith is little. You have very little faith. And I know that some people will be saying, well, he failed after all because he started sinking. There were greater failures in this scene, if you don't know. The greater failures are the people who refused to come out of the boat, and there were at least 11 of them that we know. They were the greater failure because they would never have been able to describe to you what the experience feels like walking upon the water. At least the Bible talks about Peter making it back into... No, there were two things. There were two experiences that Peter had that none of the guys that were in the boat had. The first thing is the walking on the water experience. Like I said, is the one of a kind, apart from Jesus. I will imagine that when we get to heaven, many people will want to find out, how did it happen? And there's going to be a long queue on Peter's side, just wanting to find out, how did it happen? The experience of walking upon the water, you know. That's the experience. That's the first thing. But that's not the only thing. The other thing that Peter actually knew, beyond every other reasonable, any other iota of doubt, is the fact that he was able to experience the fact that Jesus would never leave you sinking. Never. Even if you have this tiny faith, if you will act upon it, even if it doesn't get you to your destination, you can be rest assured that the master will never allow you to sink, as in to go under the water, acting by faith. He will do something. And that was the experience of Peter. Now, think about this with me. I don't know how you process the Bible when you read the passages of the Bible. The Bible says that Peter was sinking and Jesus came to him and held his hand. Verse 31, look at what he says. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, how did they get into the boat? Now picture this, because I like to immerse myself into the situation when I read the Bible. I want to encourage you to do that, because it makes you to ask a lot of questions. Now, that does not guarantee that you always have answers, but at least it makes you to engage with what you are reading. Now, Jesus was walking upon the water. He had taken some certain number of steps, we don't know, was going towards Jesus. Now, he was about sinking. Jesus came and held his hand. And then the next thing you hear is, verse 32, and when they got into the boat, the question is, how did they get into the boat? Did they walk back into the boat? Because that would have been another miracle. Okay, well, maybe they didn't walk back into the boat. Maybe they stayed there until the boat came to them. That would still be another miracle, because what kept him floating? Okay? The only thing is maybe Jesus held his hand and it was actually his feet was off the water. But that was going to be another miracle too, because I wouldn't know the mass and the weight of Jesus to have held an adult upheld high in the... Whatsoever you want to think about, there was an experience that this man had that none of the guys down here had, simply because he was going to act upon the word of God. Now, I want to submit to you on the platform of God's word, because there are some of us that want to say, okay, well, I will stay in the boat, I will build my faith, and then when my faith is big enough, then I will step upon the water, you know. Say, so just leave me here, my faith is still little, okay? Now, I'm building it, and when it gets big enough, then I will step upon the water. That's not what Jesus will want you to do. Jesus, you can only know actually the size of your faith when you step upon the water. How do we know how big and how small is your faith? I'm challenging you, people of God. There will be opportunities that will come up your way this year to change your situation in your family, to change your relationship situation, to change your financial platform that you have complained about over the years, to change your emotions, how you react to situations in your family, to deal with anger, to deal with covetousness, to deal with other problems of sin in your life. There will be opportunities for that. The question is whether you are going to have enough faith and courage to step upon the water and face it headlong. And I'm challenging you. This is your year of opportunity. There will be opportunities in 2020, just like it has been in every other year. But you need faith to engage with it. Because when you engage by faith, you will never, ever remain the same again. Never, ever. Because the Peter that went back into the boat was not the same Peter that went out of the boat. When he was coming back into the boat, number one, he was the only one that will ever have walked upon the water. Number two, he will be the only one that had a first-hand experience of the fact that the Savior will never leave you sinking without doing something about it, because he loves you so much that he will not allow you to sink under the water because you have just acted in faith, no matter how little that faith is. I came across the quote, and I'm going to be concluding with that. This quote is... the quote, can you put it up for me, please? Help me to put it up. By Oliver Wendell Holmes. He says, a mind that is stretched by a new experience can never go back into its old dimensions. I love that. A mind that is stretched by a new experience can never go back to its old dimension. The experience that Peter had, yes, he didn't make it to Jesus in terms of walking, but that mind was never going to be exactly the same again. It has changed forever. I'm not surprised about the exploit that this man, you know, was able to make in the years after, because there had been some kind of unique encounter, some kind of experience that he had with Jesus that not many of the other disciples could boast that they had it. I'm submitting to you, people of God, that as we go into this year, there will be opportunities. But I'm challenging you that please engage with these opportunities. Put your faith to work and let nothing distract you from focusing your attention upon that word that he said to you. Come, let us pray.